Well, this morning we're going to take a look at the Bible memory verse. And if you can, turn to your bulletin. Okay. Page 10. Okay, think about this. And actually it's page 9, the first part of it. Okay, here we go. This is Matthew 20 and verse 16. Now, this is important. Okay, here we go. So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen. Well, let's do that again. Let's read that again. Here we go. So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about this idea of being chosen. And I think this is something that we need to look at. See, the idea of being chosen is actually a very, very profound concept. Originally, the word chosen was not used, just called. Because the person who is called, who understands that calling, understands that being called is the same as being chosen. But soon, or with the passing of time, the idea of being called and chosen began to be adrift. By the time he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, the idea of being called and chosen had separated itself into two different ideas, unfortunately. And so the Lord Jesus had to make a distinction. Many are called. In other words, among some of them, true calling, false calling. But if we understand the idea of calling, then the idea of calling will give way to the thought of being chosen even as we are called. And thus, this statement, first will become last, the last can become first. Many call, but actually few are among the truly called. These are the chosen ones. Unfortunately, the idea of being chosen is not well understood. Israel is known as the chosen race. Reading the theology of present-day Israel, they always make this statement. It is not God who chose us. We chose God. Now that is the pride and the arrogance of today's Israel. We chose God, not significant in God choosing us, which is the reverse idea of biblical teaching. Now that becomes stunning, unfortunately. That is a prevalent view on this matter here. Okay, but when we look at Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, the idea of God choosing Israel is unmistakable. Right? So this is a nation being chosen. Okay. Now, today in our reading in Psalm 78, we're going to narrow the idea further. Okay, we're going to narrow this idea further. And we take a look at this idea of Judah. Now, from a nation to a tribe. And we look at 768, but chose the tribe of Judah. Now, that is interesting to see. Now, we see the word but. You need to look at verse 67. And in 67, we see this word here. Moreover, he rejected the tents of Joseph, did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. Now, we may not know a whole lot about Joseph and Ephraim from these two verses. But let me take you back into the book of Genesis and take a look at what the patriarch Jacob said about these tribes. Okay? Usually, when a person is born, the firstborn really has the honor and the privilege of leading all the others. That calling is a given. It's a shoe-in. Your firstborn, that is your privilege. But it was not understood. Okay? So Judah was not the firstborn. Reuben was. And he blew it. He wasted his opportunity. Now, let's take a look at Ephraim a little bit. And Joseph. Chapter 49, book of Genesis. We talk about potential. This is potential. Joseph is a fruitful bough. A fruitful bough by a well. So fruitful, the branches run over the wall. Well, that's the potential of Joseph. And then we read, his bow remained in strength. The arms of his hands were made strong. By the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your father who will help you, by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors, up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. These words of blessing belong to Reuben, but they were not given. It was given instead to the last one, last but what? Joseph. So sometimes you look at the idea of being chosen is profound. From the human secular standpoint, we take a look at the person. This person has got charisma. This person is good looking. This person looks strong. There's a lot of potential. And then the person is chosen. Not really. That secular idea can be seriously flawed and wrong. And we read, God did not choose Joseph. Despite the glowing words of the father, Jacob. You know, sometimes when we look at our children, we like one child better than the other. That particular child, we use glowing language. That one, okay now. That's it, unfortunately. You know, I had an auntie, she had so many children. And every child she gives a nickname. Until she came to the 11th one. And then we ask her, what name? And she said, Joanna. Meaning anything will do. And so his nickname became Joang. Which is not a very good nickname. Because he ran out of all the nice names. But unfortunately, that's what it is. That is how sometimes when we look at the potential of life, we look at it from a human secular standpoint. That's what it is. But that is not why God chose Judah. Because of all the best of words were already given to Joseph. But that was all there was to it. So how does it work? Well, let's go back to some, Genesis 49 again. But there was a word about Judah, not in the same way, but this was more prophetic. Now that is interesting. Okay? So there is a difference between a prophetic word and the glowing word of a father. Not the same. The glowing word of a father may or may not come to pass. But a prophetic word will come to pass. And the prophetic word of Judah was important. Judah, verse 8, at Genesis 49, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Judah is a lion's whelp. Just a little young lion. But then we read in verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. From Judah will come the king. Now, this is prophetic. Jacob didn't have all the nicest words when it came to a prophecy concerning Judah. But he had all the glowing words for Joseph. Now, you see the difference between how God chooses and how man looks. Not the same. Right? And so we come to Psalm 78. In Psalm 78, we see these words. God did not choose Ephraim. Did not choose Joseph. This is important. He rejected the tent of Joseph. Did not choose a tribe of Ephraim. You see, Jacob could not see that Ephraim would one day turn against God and serve idols. Unfortunately. So that's your limitation. So my word always to all the student pastors, if God has chosen you, it is not because you are good. It is not because of the potential. It's not because you have promising. From our human standpoint, that may appear to be. But there is a greater thing to consider. It is God's work once He chooses a person. Now that is the work that I want to see in the lives of all the student pastors. What is God doing in their lives? What is God going to create out of them? And if it's only potential they can offer, they won't go far. They will fall flat. So the great challenge for us as we look at this idea of being chosen is to see when God says He chooses what he's going to do next. And this is something that we want to consider. Okay? So 68, we read, chose the tribe of Judah. Out of all the 12 tribes, Judah became a kingdom by itself. And all the others formed together to be a northern kingdom. And so Judah fulfilled Genesis 49. That prophecy that a scepter will not depart from Judah was fulfilled. Now that's important. That would not ever be set aside because of a prophetic word. That is God's promise. Okay? Now, from a nation, to a tribe, to a place. And that place is important. And this place was called Zion, in verse 69. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he has established forever. Most of you were not here when we came to buy this place here. I was. Because $2.5 million. I call it expensive grass. That was all there was. There's nothing here. There was a row of shop houses towards the back. And then that was all it was. There was a fire that gutted the place. Nobody wanted the place. And then we looked at it and we said, this will do. Our this will do is not the way God looks at it when God blesses it. None of us could see what it would be today. Bethany 2 and 3 and 4. None. Not even me. $2.5 million. That wiped out our church account. We literally had nothing. But then came that wonderful blessing from the Lord, and He built. I like to think of it, the Lord built His sanctuary. And then we go on further. He built it like the heights, and He established it. You know, the word establish was a word I never dared to use. Until 2003, when the plug that we have in our church said this was established when it was given, 2003. Now, this is 1973 to 2003. I didn't dare to use it because I needed to know that God Himself will establish it. You see, that's the challenge. The difference is that when God chooses, He will work on it. And then He will establish it. So when I look at His doctrine of being chosen, I don't see human potential. I see God working, both to will and to do. I think this is important. This is something that we need to look at, that we want to consider all the time. What is God doing if He has called us? Now, let's move further. From a nation, Deuteronomy 7:6, right? To a tribe, Judah, Psalm 78, verse 68. To a place called Zion, which later on was developed into a concept, a doctrine, Hebrews 12, 22 to 24. The Zion that we sing about. God's spiritual kingdom. And now we come to narrowing it down to a person. Now this is where we look at it. It's profound. The same word. God has to work in what He chooses. If we look at a person, the person seems to be choice. The person seems to be full of potential. If God is not working in that person, He will come to nothing. That's your difference. But when God chooses somebody and He works in the life of the person, that person is going to stand out. That is what we are looking at. You know, I write to the session members, and Victor wrote to me this morning about the idea of God choosing. And I said, I'd like what he said. Sometimes it seems as if we have almost a glut of student pastors. Nope, we do not have a glut. If you see the work of the Lord in the world perspective, we are a very small team. What do we hope our student pastors will become one day? We will reach the world. Bethel may be only the first church. What if there are other places that will open its doors to us? In July, we have an American pastor who is going to visit with us. And he calls himself a member of Bethany. He wants to bring his whole family to come and visit with us. He wants to worship with us. You know, he wants to know what. We have another person we're supporting over in Kenya. His name is called, he's a pastor, Pastor Benson. He's going through his Bible school now, one more year to go. And he's already looking after a church. And he wants to know how we can minister alongside us. You know what? You have no idea how far-reaching our ministry can go. We've just got to see what God, when He chooses someone, what He will become. Not potential in the human being alone, but God's work in the life of the person. Well, let's take a look at this Psalm 78. In verse 70, we read, He also chose David and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes that had young, He brought him. What has a humble shepherd got to do with the Lord's work in time to come? In what way will a young shepherd boy ever think he could contribute in any way to God's work?
What does he know? Frankly, nothing. And yet we read the next verse, to shepherd Jacob his people, Israel his inheritance. Now there is the challenge. How can a shepherd looking after a few small sheep and ewes? Now his father didn't have a big flock. They were not a rich family. And now he was going to shepherd the entire nation. The training that he has as a shepherd cannot be equal to the challenge of leading a whole nation. It will take God to give him all he needed to succeed as king. And that glorious golden age was in David's king time as he was king. And I think this is where the challenge is. What then is our part? See, this great opportunity with greatness given to us, great is the responsibility. How do we understand this? And I really appreciate what we read in verse 72. And so we read, so he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart. Now that is a beautiful word. What is this idea of this? What does it mean, this integrity word? Moses wrote to me and asked, this word here also was mentioned in the book of Titus, the idea of integrity. What is that all about? See, if you were to take it to its roots, the idea of integrity is actually from the idea of God's immortality. Right? From God's immortality, which means to say he will live forever, always be the same, he will always be who he is, to integrity. In other words, we've got to be the same as well. We've got to be consistent. We've got to be constant. We've got to have a patient continuance in the language of the Apostle Paul. That's what integrity is. Because once you become king, you live, you die king. You don't abdicate. You don't choose a lesser path. It's onerous. It's difficult. It's challenging. Every day you have to look at challenges and problems. And you rise to the challenge because God empowers you and enables you to do what you need to do. So when God chooses somebody, he would promise his immortal strength, his immortal presence, his power to that person. And if the person knows how to draw that strength, what emerges is the word we call integrity. So the idea of being chosen has nothing to do with the potential of the person to be this, that, and the other. The focus is about what God is going to do in the life of the person, pouring his immortal power and everything else into that mortal being, and out comes integrity. So the idea of being chosen is significant. So it draws it out of the person because God first put it into that person. His grace, his mercy, his wisdom, his strength, his power, and everything else, and out comes the word integrity. And that is not an easy thing to have. And that's something that we need to look at very carefully. Now, the second part, which is again our responsibility in response. And he guided them, now we read this, and he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. This is what we need to look at. In a pastoral ministry, there is much skillfulness demanded, needed. And no place, no other profession on this earth here would ever prepare you for that needed spiritual skillfulness that God requires to do His work. No matter what it is. You see, so when we talk about being chosen, we need to look at two appropriate responses from us. And that is, one, we've got to give to God that integrity. We've got to give back to God on our part. We learn skillfulness. And so the young people, I call them young people because I'm much older. The student pastors, I'm at least twice their age. So I can say call them young people. So this week has been a challenging week. This coming week, we're going to India. We come right back and we're looking at ministering at the junior camp. And all of them are just wiping the perspiration from their eyebrows. So I look at them and I say, you're just only doing 3 weeks. I've been doing this for 40 years. How do you understand this? Don't worry about these things here. The focus is what it means to be chosen by God in the first place. Imagine, out of a whole nation, one tribe. Out of one tribe, a place. Out of a place, one person. That's how God chooses. It begins with hearing His call. It goes on to understand what it means. And then be among the chosen. That is a great challenge. Can we all be amongst the chosen? I hope so. Much depends upon our response. How do we respond to the Lord? And this is important for us. You know, when I look back at Maureen and, in the language of Singaporeans, she would have belonged to the pioneer generation. Right? If she in Singapore, she would be given a pioneer card. Not that she ever will use it, but that would be a pioneer. And we honor them for what they have, what they are. How they put in the hard work. They're not afraid of the stints that they have to pull. And they hold themselves in integrity, in honor, and in strength. And in the skillfulness given to them in their hands, they make a success out of their lives. The focus in the past was not technology. The focus in the past was not going to university. The focus in the past was not any of these things. It is whatever you can do. So can we understand that this idea of being chosen actually applies to everybody? The challenge is to understand and to recognize, has God chosen me? Then you look at yourself and say, well, I've got nothing to offer. Wait a minute. Let's stop here for a while. What's the first work? God is going to work in your life, both to will and to do. Philippians 2:13. God will create in your heart a will, a desire. And you know, you want to do it. That's the first part. And then you find yourself, you want to do it. That's the second part. And the rest is where we begin to cultivate integrity. We begin to look at how we can do it effectively, skillfully. That's what it is. Is it possible for all of us? The answer is yes. There are many who wrote and said that they want to follow the example of Auntie Maureen. And I am so glad to hear this. One person wrote and said, Pastor, I want to carry on where Auntie Maureen left off. I will be a sponsor for the books. That's what it means. So we begin to understand how it works. From a nation, to a tribe, to a place, to a person, and to the average ordinary person. we all can understand that the idea of being chosen applies to all of us who know and believe in God. The challenge is to begin to understand, so this is my calling, and God will equip me, and God will use me, and God will enable me to fulfill what He has given my hands to do. And I will do it with integrity, and I will do it with skill. And God will do the blessing. And that's our challenge this morning as we ponder this thought. What has God called you to do? What has God chosen you to do? You know, with it, He will give you all the gifts that you need to fulfill it, and the strength and the grace to do it. Now, I'm saying with my face all red. I looked at my face, and this is just an allergic reaction. And I'm going to India tonight with all the pastoral team members. And we're all learning the same principle. We're practicing it at different levels, but we're still practicing the same truth. God has chosen us. God has called us. We have a work to do. We are going to learn all the skill sets that are necessary. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to find the grace and the strength and the power and the skill that God will give to us to do it well. On your part, we're going to ask you to pray for us. And you're going to pray that the Lord will continue to raise up a good, solid team of people marked by integrity, marked by skillfulness to serve the Lord at Bethany and beyond our shores. Let's do everything we can to support them. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for the challenge to understand, firstly, this teaching on being chosen, and then to understand how we can apply it into our lives individually and as a church. And Father, as we give this offering, help us to give this because we love You. Thank You for the joy and the privilege of being called and chosen. Help us to live for You as we were meant to. We pray for Your blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen.